Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to KKIM, the oldest Christian radio station in New Mexico. And we've been going over the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and they were given to Peter by Jesus. And he says in Matthew 16:19, you can go back over the other tapes. They're on podcast, and they're free of charge at gilbertandfriends.com. That's, and you have to spell it and, A-N-D, GILBERTANDFRIENDS.com. Anyway, we're continuing on the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and they're given by Jesus to Peter. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And we got to the point on the day of Pentecost where they were asking the brethren, they were cut to the heart and realized that Jesus is indeed Lord and Savior. Let me read how that says it. Let all the house of Israel therefore know surely that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Most people want Jesus as Savior, but he is Lord, he is Master, and he is Christ, he is anointed. This Jesus, and his name means Savior, whom you crucified. And they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, which is in the imperative mood. We are commanded, and it's in the present tense, now. You know, like, why wait? God is the most important thing in our lives. And be baptized, each one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, in the old days, when two Greeks would be standing on the seashore or in another boat, and a boat would sink, they would say baptizo, and that means to sink or to dip. They dipped the sop, and they were reclining at dinner. They took and fully immersed the sop into what they were eating, and they ate that. If you wanted to dye a garment in the Bible, you would baptizo it. Now, rantizo is to sprinkle, a whole different word, and it's generally speaking about the blood when it's talking about rantizo or sprinkle. But baptizo is in water, and it means to be completely submersed. And there are a good six words that have nothing to do with ceremonial religious baptism. They are when they would dye clothes and so on, or dip your finger in some water and give me a drink. And it means to dip. I want to make sure that all out there know there's a reason for baptism, and it is for the remission of sins, for the sending away of that problem that man has of having a big hole or a big void and not having the Holy Spirit of God in you. So they were told to, number one, change your mind. So baptism of babies doesn't work. They have to change their mind. A baby is without sin, and they can't change their mind anyway, because if you haven't sinned yet, you can't change your mind. And it is when you are old enough, after the age of accountability, and you've walked away from God. See, babies haven't even had that chance yet. They belong to God. They belong to Jesus, the babies do. But the promise is unto you and unto your children. So children can be baptized too, even as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And What is happening here in this Acts 2:38 is God is calling men back to himself, as many as the Lord our God shall call back to him. And the whole idea of all this is to find the way back to God. So, and here it shows the two keys, changing your mind and being fully immersed, and what words are to be said over you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, there is no place ever in the scriptures where it says, and this happened to me twice before, and it just didn't work. It was not an outward sign of an inward cleansing. That is nowhere to be found in the Bible. And so when we baptize people, this is exactly how we baptize them, Acts 2:38. And then let's look at Mark 16:16. And it says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Who has disbelieved shall be condemned. Now, in this particular verse, this word baptized is the Greek word baptisthes, and it's in the aorist tense time. The Greek has things the English does not have. It talks about things that are very hard or difficult to express in the English language. And aorist tense is a without and horizon, without horizon. And it's over the horizon. And what it's saying is he that believes and when he was baptized was saved. And that's actually how it's translated. So we could say it this way, he that believes and when baptized shall be saved. Well, God actually gave us two other places that baptisthes, exactly the same part of speech and everything is found. So let's go to the next one. This is Matthew, and this is talking about Jesus's own baptism. Then comes Jesus from Galilee. This is Matthew 3:13-17. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, what's interesting about John is, see, John was from mother's womb. It's in Luke chapter 1 that he had the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. There's a qualification for a baptizer. He has to be Holy Spirit filled. Peter baptized, he was Holy Spirit filled. Paul baptized people, he was Holy Spirit filled. Jesus baptized people, of course he was Holy Spirit filled, and so was John the baptizer. He came to John to be baptized of him, and he would fain hinder him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you come to me. But Jesus answered and said to him, suffer me now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And I'm going to throw this in. This is hugely important when you see this. Baptism fulfills all righteousness, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, John the baptizer allowed Jesus to be baptized. And Jesus, when baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened, and he saw God's Spirit descending as if a dove, coming upon him, and lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus, when he was baptized, so go back to Mark 16:16, he that believes and when baptized shall be saved. Oh, Acts 8:13. Now, when I was a Christian for years, I struggled. I was in that Romans chapter 7 Christian struggle. And then I got baptized, and that struggle quit. Acts 8:13 is the other place where baptisthes is found. And when baptized, he can fill it. That Simon also believed, and when baptized, he continued with Philip, and beholding the signs and great miracles, he was amazed. In some translations, after being baptized, Simon, after being baptized, he that believes and after being baptized shall be saved. So there is faith also involved in your conversion. And I believe it's actually a quite simple faith, because faith has to grow, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, it talks about in one of the scriptures. In other words, another place, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, so it keeps growing and growing. But faith comes from God. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So anyway, we change our mind and God gives us the faith to take the next step, and then we get baptized, and then God just keeps increasing our faith, you see. So Acts 8:13, and Simon also, after being baptized, when baptized, he that believes and when baptized shall be saved, is actually how the Greek states it. So salvation does hinge on baptism, and it's got to be the right baptism. It must be full immersion, and it must be in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, I'm going to offer something to you. If you would like to get baptized the scriptural way, you can give me a call anytime. And my phone number is at the end of this broadcast. Here's another scripture. In 1 Peter 3:21, it says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure, talking about the days of Noah. And it says, "The like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us." And in Noah's time, when there was an ark of safety that was a boat, today the ark of safety is baptism. Now let's go back, and we're going to go back to this story about Paul and his conversion. So let's go back to Acts chapter 9, and we're going to read Acts 9, and then we're going to read Paul's account of his salvation. So hopefully I'll get through this today. "But Saul, yet breathing threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to Damascus unto the synagogue, so that if he found any that were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, it came to pass that he drew near to Damascus, and suddenly a light out of heaven shone about him. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he says, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But arise and enter into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do.'" And we dealt with this last time. There's something we must do. And so he'd seen Jesus, he had repented, he had believed in him because he saw him and he called him Lord, but there was something that he must, and there you go to Damascus and there it will be told what you must do. And the men that journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but beholding no one. It wasn't their time. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. He was blinded. And they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now, this is one of the accounts. This is a wonderful account. It's like in Job. You get to see man's view, and then you get to see it from God's view. This shows how God works in a man's salvation behind the scenes. So you are there behind the scenes. Now, a certain disciple was at Damascus, Ananias by name, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Lo, here I am, Lord." So he recognized him as Lord, the Trinity, the divinity. And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for a Tarsian, Saul by name, for lo, he prays. And he has seen in a vision a man, Ananias by name, coming in and laying hands on him that he might receive his sight." Don't forget this. The laying on of hands here was to receive sight. But Ananias was sent for two purposes. One is for his salvation, and the other was to heal his sight. And the reason he laid hands on him here was to receive his sight, you see. So, but let me go back. And verse 12, "For lo, he prays, and he has seen in a vision a man, Ananias by name, coming in and laying hands on him that he might receive his sight. But Ananias answered, 'Lord, I have heard from many of this man, how much evil he did to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call upon thy name.' But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel to me to bear my name both before the Gentiles and the kings.'" You know, Jonah, when he was sent to Nineveh, he had some misgivings. Here, Ananias has some misgivings too. "And the sons of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name.' And Ananias went away and went into the house, and laying hands on him said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who has appeared to thee in the way which thou camest, has sent me that thou might receive thy sight.' So he laid his hands on him and took care of that, and be filled with the Holy Spirit, as if scales fell from his eyes, and he received his sight, and he arose and was baptized and took food and was strengthened." So here he was baptized. So that he was sent for two purposes: to receive his sight, and number two, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And doesn't this line up with Acts 2:38? "Repent and let each of you be baptized," not into a church, not as an outward sign of an inward cleansing. That is not in the Bible. Please show me where that is in the Bible, exactly where those words are. And it tells us exactly the words: "In the name of Jesus Christ, in whom the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit richly dwell." I just added that in. That's in Colossians 2. In Jesus dwells the whole Godhead, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and we shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It lines up exactly with Acts 9:18. We read all the way from 1 to 19. "He did not eat food until he had taken care of the most important matter at hand, and that was his salvation." Now, let's read the rest of the story. I like it this way. Acts 22. So I'm going to start it in 1. "Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye the defense that I now make unto you." This is Saul. He's being accused by the Jews. And he's making his defense in chapter 22. "Hear ye now the defense which I make unto you. And when they heard that he spoke unto them in the Hebrew language, they were the more quiet. And he said, 'I'm a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the 11 most learned men at that time, instructed according to the strictness of the law of our fathers, being a zealot for God, even as you all are today. And I persecuted this way, unto death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest, witnesses, and all eldership, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and journeyed to Damascus to bring them also that were there to Jerusalem in bonds to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey," now this is his version of what happened on the way, "and drew near to Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light shone from heaven round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And I answered, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you persecute.' And they that were with me beheld indeed the light, but heard not the voice of him that spake to me." You see, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice," and he was destined to be a sheep of the Lord. "And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said unto me, 'Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do.'" Jesus is not going to leave us in doubt ever. He will tell us all the things that are appointed for us to do. "And when I could not look up for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of those with me, I came to Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, well reported of by the Jews that dwelt there, came unto me, and standing by me said, 'Brother Saul, look up.' And I in that very hour looked upon him, and he said, 'The God of our fathers appointed thee to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear the voice from his mouth, because thou shalt be a witness for him unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And what shalt thou do now? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. And it came to pass when I returned to Jerusalem, and while I prayed in the temple, I fell into a trance, and so on. So even here it tells us how to call upon the name of the Lord. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Let's put that back with Acts 2:38. And now it says, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what shall you do now? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. And it says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're not baptized. When you get baptized, it's not calling on the name of a church. It's not calling out an outward sign of an inward cleansing. It is calling out in the name of Jesus Christ, in his name, calling on his name. And his name is Jesus Christ. Make sure people say it right. And you can combine, for sure, you can combine that in, you know, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's in Matthew. But also, I am very diligent to make sure that I baptize, and the young men that we instruct on how to baptize, I believe that they should have Acts 2:38 committed to memory. So when they baptize people, it's done that first the person changes his mind, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Romans, I'll finish up here in Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? In verse 1, are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we that died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? See, here's his name again, baptized into Christ Jesus. You are baptized into his death, not sprinkled. They don't just sprinkle dirt over people. Ooh, that'd be an ugly looking mess out there, wouldn't it, if you had a cemetery where they just sprinkled dirt on the ones that were dear to us. And no, they're covered. And therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. And until we meet again, may God lead you to the water. In Jesus' name,
amen. You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, Post Office Box 66149, Albuquerque, New Mexico 87193. That's Box 66149, Albuquerque 87193. Or call us toll-free at 866-754-6527. That's 866-754-6527. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible, because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.